If you're traveling to the North Country Fair, where the winds hit heavy on the borderline.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that's forming a romantic triad with Snow White and Rob Lowe. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Joe Stickman Reed.
Gotta cue up the orchestra on you guys.
Chris, the Chanel Boots File.
Are you the new Emily? Because you're gonna Emma-lose.
And Katie, Heart of the Ocean, Rich.
Turns out the old lady dropped you into the ocean in the end.
Hello, hello, and thanks to everyone for being here today. It is Oscar week, listeners, so we're taking a quick break before the season 6 playoffs for a special Academy Awards trivia episode. And what better way to bring the glitz and glamour we all expect on Hollywood's biggest night than to have on three bona fide awards season experts, Joe Reed, Chris File, and Katie Rich. Thanks so much to all three of you for playing with us today. It is an absolute pleasure to have you here. As it is also a pleasure to welcome our resident scoremaster, Mr. Dan Cassino. Hi there, Dan.
Taylor, wait, is the Golden Globes or the Oscars that are the boozy ones?
The Golden Globes not boozy this year. Historically, yes.
Oh, okay. This might be a problem going forward. Sorry.
Oh, jeez. Well, thanks, Dan. And also joining us today is our friend, production master Dave. Hi there, Dave.
Now, not to editorialize, but if Jordan doesn't win the Oscar, that would be the stupidest thing since the following segue.
Well, I guess I'm set up to have a terrible segue into our first game, a round of My Champion. This is the game where each one of today's contestants has chosen a champion, a fictional character from somewhere out in the world of popular culture. The catch? We pick the battle that those champions are fighting. From the This Had Oscar Buzz podcast, it's Best Original Song scholar, Joe Reed. Joe, who is your champion today?
My champion is Mona Lisa Vito from the film My Cousin Vinny.
Joe's cohort on This Had Oscar Buzz, entertainment editor and podcaster Chris File. Who've you got for your champion?
I have noted back in the popular news, rock nemesis Elmo.
And Vanity Fair editor and podcast lifer Katie Rich. Who have you got for your champion?
I've chosen Christine Ladybird McPherson from Ladybird.
Fantastic. Three champions are locked in. I will serve as our judge today. So that means it's time to spin that scenario wheel. Today's scenario asks, which champion is going to run the FYC campaign that will finally win Glenn Close an Oscar? Joe, why is Mona Lisa from My Cousin Vinny going to run that FYC campaign that's going to lead Glenn Close to the elusive Oscar?
All right. I do feel like in another life, Mona Lisa Vito would make for a fantastic publicist. She's a big city girl. She's a mover and shaker. She has attitude and persuasiveness. I feel like if Glenn Close is going to win an Oscar, persuasiveness is going to be the key. She also has an ability to speak to many different types of audiences. She was able to successfully explain pause attraction to that Alabama jury, and expertise is a premium in this. And Glenn's going to need all the help she can get at this point. So I feel like Mona Lisa Vito is going to twist some arms and she's going to bring it home.
Thank you, Joe. All right, Chris, make the case for Sesame Street's Elmo as a great FYC campaign manager.
Okay, listen. So Oscar races have gotten way too nice in the past few years. Obviously, we know why, but we need someone who is actually nice to play dirty again. Who's going to do that? But obviously, the great new debater, Elmo. And who is Glenn Close's prime competition going to be? This new upstart, Zoe's new rock, Rockette. And, like, he already knew how to take down Rocco. He's going to know how to take down Rockette. The biggest thing that's worked against Glenn Close is that, like, nobody ever really made a case against her biggest competition. And Elmo is going to be the person to know how to do that.
Thank you, Chris. All right, Katie, make the case for Christine Ladybird McPherson.
we all know Lady Bird can fit into different environments. She can go to the parking lot and hang out with the burnouts. She can hang out with the theater kids. You just imagine her like in Bel Air country clubs, like talking to all the old men who don't want to vote for women ever, and then going to Sundance and going to a condo and getting all the cool new kids. And also in the movie, we see her power with campaign posters. So you just picture this, like an Oscar statue with Glenn Close's head glued on top of it. Who's not going to vote for that?
All right, three fantastic arguments, and it falls upon me to determine a winner. This is tricky. I do like Joe's thoughts about the different types of audiences that Mona Lisa can speak to, and definitely the persuasiveness. And then Elmo, definitely the playing dirty aspect, just from out of nowhere, getting the sort of meme level things. But if we had Glenn Close hitting a meme level, talking about DeButt, you know, maybe a month earlier than last year, then maybe she would have taken that home for Hillbilly Elegy. So that's definitely going into the viral internet thing that the Oscars have become these days. And with Lady Bird, I would love to see Glenn Close's head on one of those crazy weird posters. You know, now that I've talked myself into it, I'm going to go with Elmo. I think the memification of it all is definitely nice. Going to take home the win. So Chris and Elmo are today's winners for My Champion.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Chris.
I was prepared to do a rebuttal for both of you if we got to like say why the other person should.
Well, Chris, since you've won My Champion, that means you get a crack at the half point. Answer this question correct and you will have half a point more than either of your fellow competitors. Here is your half point question. Glenn Close has received 8 acting nominations at the Academy Awards. One other actress has earned exactly 8 nominations, finally winning on her final nomination in 1985 for The Trip to Bountiful, 2 years before her death. Who is that actress?
The great Geraldine Page.
Correct. You get the half point, and it means you get to go first in round one, Great Acceptations. We're ramping up the difficulty on our usual Oscar acceptance speech audio quiz. Say goodbye to the acting and directing categories and hello to best song, score, screenplay, and a few others. After you hear the clip, name the speaker. So, if I played you this clip...
See, this is the first song I ever wrote for a motion picture, so I guess it's all downhill from here, you know? But, Neil, I gotta share this with you.
You would know that the person accepting that Oscar was...
Bruce Springsteen!
Bruce Springsteen, the boss himself, for Streets of Philadelphia. Now, if you need a hint, I'll tell you the name of the movie for which they were accepting their award. 10 points for a right answer before a hint, and just 5 points after a hint. Chris, this first Oscar acceptance speech is for you.
Sony Pictures, MGM, Paul Ettworth for, oh God. Mate, believing in me all the time. And my man, I love you, baby.
Adele Atkins.
Yes, for the title song from Skyfall. Next clip is for Katie.
The spirit of this bridge connects the kid from the south side of Chicago, dreaming of a better life, to those in France standing up for their freedom of expression, to the people in Hong Kong protesting for democracy.
Ooh, is that Common? Yes!
Yes,
nice.
Credited as Lonnie Lynn on that song, but we will take Common
was
for
really?
10 points, wow. Yes. Next up to Joe.
There's a discipline for passion, and it's not about how many times you get rejected or but you fall down or you're beaten up. It's about how many times you stand up and are brave and you keep on going. Thank you.
I'll take the hint.
Accepting an Oscar for the film A Star is Born.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Truly? Wow. All right. The ghost of Patrizia was aggressing me there. That's Lady Gaga.
Yes, Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanotta herself, Lady Gaga, for that best song Oscar. Next up, we're going back to Chris.
This is Lisa, and this is Wendy. Can I hold it?
Love to.
This is very unbelievable.
Wendy, yes, Lisa, it's Prince.
Yes, for best original song score for Purple Rain. Next up to Katie.
This is a lot of fun. I'll be real quick. Thanks to Bernardo. Thank you to Jeremy. This is a lot of fun, but it's more fun doing it. Thank you.
Oh, boy. I guess I'll hear it again.
This is a lot of fun. I'll be real quick. Thanks to Bernardo. Thank you to Jeremy. This is a lot of fun, but it's more fun doing it. Thank you.
I think it's probably a musician, but I'm going to need the hint.
Accepting an Oscar for The Last Emperor.
Oh, okay. So it was Bernardo Bertolucci. I don't know. I have to give up. Pass.
Chris knows this one.
It's David Byrne.
Oh,
from
no
Talking
kidding.
Heads, wow. David Byrne accepting the Best Score Oscar alongside Kong Su and Ryuichi Sakamoto.
I wish I had known that David Byrne had an Oscar. That would have brought
me joy.
Yeah,
kind of, yeah.
Next clip is for Joe.
I remember 12 years ago, we were sitting in our dorm at USC writing the score for your first short film. And we're here 12 years later, celebrating one of the most important cinematic moments in history.
Oh, that's a very familiar voice to me, I feel like. I'm going to need the hint for this as well.
Accepting an Oscar for Black Panther.
Oh. I'm blanking. I am blanking. Ryan Coogler.
Chris?
Ludwig Göransson, right?
Oh,
yes, best original score.
That's who it was.
Next up, Chris, we're back to you.
I want to thank my husband, who helped me so much in ways that I could never tell him, and it wasn't by being like Daryl. He wasn't the model for any of the characters. In fact, my brother was. I'm just kidding.
I'm going to need the hint.
Accepting an award for Thelma and Louise.
Callie Corey.
Oh,
hey, wow. What a ball.
Nice.
I just had Corey. I was like, what's her first name?
Daryl being Christopher McDonald's character in the movie.
Right.
Next clip is over to Katie.
I'd like to say, Michael Nyman, your music was just so extraordinary. For me, it was the heart of the film. Jan, thank you for being my friend and producer.
Oh, I need to hear that name at the very beginning again.
I'd like to say, Michael Nyman, your music was just so extraordinary. For me, it was the heart of the film. Jan, thank you for being my friend and producer.
Yeah, I need the hint.
Accepting an Oscar for The Piano.
Damn, I knew it was Jane Campion. I'm so bad at accents. If I just trusted that it was a Kiwi accent, I would have gotten it.
And next clip is for Joe.
What is happening? this is for the writers. And I want to thank all the writers. I especially want to thank my fellow nominees, because I worship you guys, and I'm learning from you every day. So thank you very much.
I'm pretty sure this is Diablo Cody. All
right. For the full 10 points.
All right.
And that'll take us into our first update on the scores from Scoremaster Dan.
Absolutely. A little more than halfway through round one, Katie has 15 points, Joe is ahead with 20, Chris has a lead. He has 25 points and the half point.
All right, Chris, see if you can hold on to that lead. Two more clips per player. This one is for you.
In Winchester Cathedral, to pay my respects, you know, and tell her about the grosses. And I don't know how she would react to an evening like this, but I do hope she knows how big she is in Uruguay.
That is Dame Emma Thompson.
The absolute best, accepting her screenwriting Oscar for Sense and Sensibility. Next up, over to Katie.
And of course, most of all, James Whale. 60 years ago, Hollywood sort of turned its back on him because he insisted on living the way he wanted to. So, Mr. Jimmy, this is for you. Thank you.
It sounds like somebody talking about the Blacklist or also somebody being gay. But I'm going to need the hint because that's not helping me.
Accepting an Oscar for Gods and Monsters.
Oh, it's Bill Condon.
Yes, best adapted screenplay for that movie. Next up, over to Joe.
So the only speech I ever wrote was when I was 10. And I had a look to see if there'd be anything useful from it, but unfortunately mostly thanked Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell, who was my very supportive husband.
That's a voice that I know. That's a speech that I can kind of remember. Can I hear it one more time?
So the only speech I ever wrote was when I was 10. And I had a look to see if there'd be anything useful from it, but unfortunately mostly thanked Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell, who was my very supportive husband.
All right, I'm going to do some triangulation here because it can't be an actress. And I'm going to guess Emerald Fennell. Yeah.
Okay. Going for the full 10. Well done, Joe. All right. Yes, that is indeed Emerald Fennell from just a year ago, accepting her original screenplay award for Promising Young Woman. One more clip per player. This one is for Chris.
I'd like to say hi to my mom and dad back in Ireland. And a big hello to everyone involved in the Lieutenant of Inishmore at the Atlantic in New York. Thanks.
Oh my God. It's the Lieutenant of Inishmore that's going to throw me off. Can I get a hint, please?
Accepting an award for Six Shooter.
Oh, it's Martin McDonagh. It is Martin McDonagh.
Yes, best live action short in 2006 for Six Shooter. Next up, over to Katie.
I would like to thank everybody who worked on the film, gave them themselves a huge amount of talent and generosity. Richard E. Grant, who was fabulous. Ruth Kenley-Lett, who's a fabulous producer. And Elaine Collins, who was the real creative dynamo behind it all. And my mom and dad. And the Academy. Thanks a lot.
Oh, Richard E. Grant. And all I can think of is Can You Ever Forgive Me, which did not have anyone with that accent involved in it. So I need the hint.
Accepting an Oscar for Franz Kafka's It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, Lord. This is somebody who made a short film. I don't have the first clue. I don't know. Pass.
This is my favorite one. This is Peter Capaldi, who has an Oscar for Best right. Live Action Short.
Right. I knew it was a rando from a while
Me
ago.
Me learning that Peter Capaldi and David Byrne have Oscars is these like silver fox kings in my life. This is net good for me.
Yes, exactly.
And our final clip is for Joe.
Because we like nonfiction. We like nonfiction and we live in fictitious times. We live in a time where we have fictitious election results that elects a fictitious president.
Oh, you cut it off right before all the booze came in. That's Michael Moore for Bowling for Columbine.
Absolutely. A strong answer for Joe. We'll close out round one. Up next, the scores from Dan and on to round two.
Good job, everybody. For some reason, I don't know why, but when you said, whenever I think of Richard E. Grant, of course I think of Hudson Hawk.
Famous Oscar winner Hudson Hawk.
Hey, listeners. Taylor here to tell you about what's going on in the empty studio over on our Patreon feed this week. This week's game is called It's a Wonderful Night for Trivia. Keeping the Oscar spirit alive, rolling into Oscar weekend in the empty studio, we're going to have a modern-day salute to Billy Crystal's first draft song parodies that appeared in Oscar ceremonies past. We've got a trivia challenge that will lead you to currently nominated movies at the Oscars, along with popular songs whose titles scan onto each other. If it sounds silly, don't worry, I promise it will be. Catch that, and along with dozens of other past empty studio episodes, at usaquizshow.com/membership. Hope to see you there.
Going to round two, it's time for the nepotism score break. Nepotism. Hi, Mom. Right now, Chris is in the lead with 40 points and the half point. Joe is close behind with 40. Katie is in last place with 20. But that means she'll get to go first in round two.
Katie, it also means you get to make up some ground with the Threequalizer. I'm going to ask you a question that has three possible answers. You will have three guesses to match as many of those answers as you can. 10 points to you for each answer you can match. Your Threequalizer question is, actress Frances McDormand has won three Oscars for Best Actress in a Leading Role. She has also been nominated 3 times at the Oscars for Best Supporting Actress. For what 3 movies are her Best Supporting Actress nominations?
Okay. I know one of them is North Country.
If you're traveling,
that's where
it was. North Country Fair.
Okay, so the best additional one I can come up with is Almost Famous. I'm pretty sure she got that too. Okay. And then I don't think she got nominated for Raising Arizona, even though I would have nominated her. And everything else I can think of is a lead performance. So I think that I'm going to have to leave it there.
Joe knows the third one.
It's You Were Never Going to Get It. It was Mississippi Burning, like way early
in her career. I have known that at some point in my life, but I didn't
know
that
it's
today.
Very easy to forget. Yeah.
A gerund in a U.S. state, you're almost there with Raising
Arizona. Taylor, just to interject real quickly, the scores at this point could not be closer. Chris is still in the lead with 40 points and the half point. Everybody else has 40. All 3 players within half a point of each other.
I'll get you for this, Elmo.
I'm kind of hoping for a tie at the end just so I can bust out my Ingrid Bergman impression. Now, before we get to round 2, because we have such special guests today, we want to let you, our listeners, know about their Oscar bona fides. Not that they haven't proved them already. But Joe, you and Chris, can you tell us a little bit about the This Had Oscar Buzz podcast?
Sure, of course. Chris, we've been doing this for what? 3 years? 180-something episodes of This Had Oscar Buzz?
Yeah, we'll be closing in on 200 this year.
Everybody always asks us, like, you're running out, right? And we're like, we are not close to running out of movies. There will always be more to replenish every year. We talk about movies that were positioned for Oscars but did not make it. Chris, what are some of our more recent ones?
We've recently done Hustlers. We've done Stepmom. Notoriously, we have done Cats.
Cats.
Also do more like niche forgotten movies, like we're about to launch an episode for On Chesil Beach.
Everyone remembers On Chesil Beach.
Things like Pay It Forward.
Yeah. Our beloved Shipping News. The Shipping News was a fave of mine. Yeah. So every week, if you follow us on had_Oscar_buzz, we have a new episode every week. You can join with us in all the fun and frivolity. And sometimes if it's ramping up on Thanksgiving, we have our friend Katie Rich who joins us and I torment her with quizzes about boys who look exactly like each other.
And Katie, tell us a bit about Vanity Fair's awards coverage this season and the Little Gold Men podcast.
Yeah, so I added our Awards Insider section where you can find awardsy stuff for Oscars and Emmys all the time, all year round, and some print issues that come out if you're an awards voter. Maybe you are listening to this. And then we have the Little Gold Men podcast where it's kind of weekly doses of all of this stuff. And the unfortunate side effect of me doing that show is that I obsess over an Oscar season, and then the minute it's over, it all leaves my brain, which is why quizzes like this are a disaster for me, and Joe and Chris just run laps around me. So I'm catching up. But I'd also be remiss if I did not mention the Fighting in the War Room podcast, which I'm also on and have been doing for 11 years, which in podcast time is like many ice ages. Famously, some of my other co-hosts fail to promote it when they go on other podcasts. So I am the good one. Just want everyone to know that.
Katie, that's weird because 11 years ago, that seems like it's before Serial invented podcasting.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know if that's... Weirdly, yeah, we were just like in the primordial ooze from which Serial emerged.
Well, thanks, Joe, Chris, and Katie. That's going to take us into round 2 today, entitled Winners and Choosers. We all love the drama in our favorite movies, but there's no drama like a long-term Oscar narrative. In this game, we'll give you an Oscar category and 3 movies. One of the movies was an Oscar winner for a person, one an Oscar nomination for that same person, and one an Oscar miss for that person. For a quick 5 points, name the person. Then tell us which movie was the win, the nomination, and the miss, 10 points each. For instance, if we gave you the category of Best Actor and the movies Lincoln, The Ballad of Jack and Rose, and Phantom Thread, you'd know that the actor in all 3 of them was...
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Correct, Daniel Day-Lewis. Then you'd have to know that he got an Oscar win for...
Lincoln!
Just a nomination for...
Phantom Thread.
And he got nothing for...
The Ballad of Jack and Rose.
Absolutely correct. Let's start off this round with Katie. Katie, we're going to start in the category of Best Actress. Your 3 movies are The Devil Wears Prada, The Hours, and The Iron Lady.
That would be Meryl Streep. So she won for The Iron Lady, a movie I have not ever seen and may never. She was nominated for the Devil Wears Prada. And she was the only of the major stars in The Hours. Joe's beloved The Hours, not to get a nomination.
Full 35 points to Katie. Well done. Next to Chris, we're in Best Actress still with the movies Blue Jasmine, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and Elizabeth the Golden Age.
We are talking about Kate Blanchett. She won for Blue Jasmine, was nominated for Elizabeth the Golden Age, and got nothing for The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Another perfect answer for Chris. Next up to Joe, still Best Actress with the movies Butterfield 8, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, and Giant.
All right, well, this is Elizabeth Taylor. She won for Butterfield 8. She, oh gosh. All right. I'm going to say she was nominated for Cat on a Hot Tin Roof and not nominated for Giant.
Absolutely. Ooh. Another perfect answer from Joe. Next up, we're going to move over to Best Director. This first set for Katie, we've got the movies Born on the 4th of July, JFK, and Nixon.
This would be Oliver Stone, another Joe favorite. I feel bad taking Joe's beloveds away from him. Okay, so we had Born on the 4th of July, JFK, and Nixon. I believe he won for Born on the 4th of July. I'm going to say he was nominated for JFK and blanked for Nixon.
Absolutely. Okay. Well done, Katie.
Very good.
Next up to Chris, still in Best Director with the movies 21 Grams, Babel, and The Revenant.
We are talking about Alejandro González Iñárritu. He won for The Revenant, was nominated for Babel, was not nominated for 21 Grams.
Absolutely. Everyone's doing great in round two so far. Next up is to Joe. Still in Best Director, it's Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Life of Pi, and Sense and Sensibility.
All right, this is Ang Lee. One for Life of Pi, nominated for Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, not nominated for Sense and Sensibility.
Correct. Sense and Sensibility, a Best Picture nominee, but not a Best Director nominee. Now we're going to move into Best Original Screenplay. For Katie, we've got Ace in the Hole, Double Indemnity, and Sunset Boulevard.
Ooh, okay. This is Billy Wilder. And, okay. I know Sunset Boulevard was like sort of an underperformer Oscar-wise. I'm going to say he won for Double Indemnity, was nominated for Sunset Boulevard, and did not get nominated for Ace in the Hole. Ah.
Ooh, all three pieces out of place. He wins for Sunset Boulevard. Okay. Gloria Swanson famously loses, but he does take home that screenplay win, nominated for Ace in the Hole, and missed entirely for Double Indemnity.
That's wild. Injustice.
Oh, beat me to it. Next up to Chris, sticking in Best Original Screenplay, we've got Chinatown, The Last Detail, and Shampoo.
Oh my god. Why is his name escaping me? I at least know the order. It's Robert, obviously not Robert Evans. No. What's this guy's name? I'm going to pass on the name.
You got the first name right. It is Robert Town. Robert Town.
Oh my God, we've done an episode on Robert Town.
I was going to say, you could have asked the dust for your answer.
Yeah, like if Ask the Dust was on there, maybe I would have gotten
the,
it.
The name is right there in Chinatown. Robert Chinatown is what they call it, right?
All right, Chris, you can still let us know the wins, nomads, miss.
Yeah, Robert Chinatown E, because it's town with an E. He won for Chinatown, nominated for The Last Detail, and got nothing for Shampoo. Oh my god.
You do get 10 points for knowing he won for Chinatown, nominated for Shampoo, missed for The Last Detail.
Much like Chris did right there.
Yeah.
Next up to Joe, we're moving over to Best Adapted Screenplay. Your movies, Apocalypse Now, The Godfather Part 2, and The Great Gatsby.
I believe this is... Oh, gosh. Well, I'm going to feel foolish if I get this wrong, but I believe this is Francis Ford Coppola? All right, okay. Okay, so Godfather Part 2, right? Not Part 1. Okay, so my game brain is telling me that The Great Gatsby doesn't make this question unless it was a nominee. So I'm going to say Great Gatsby, a nominee, won for The Godfather Part 2, and wasn't nominated for Apocalypse Now.
10 points for knowing the win was for Godfather Part 2, nommed for Apocalypse Now, missed entirely for his screenplay for The Great Gatsby.
You overthought it, Joe.
I did. I overthought it.
And that answer will take us into our next score update from Scoremaster Dan.
At this point, the game is remaining very, very close. Joe's in the lead with 125 points, Chris has 120 points and the half point, Katie has 115 points. This is still very much anyone's game.
All right, getting back into it. Katie, this next one is for you. We are moving into the category of Best Cinematography. Your three movies are The Aviator, The Hateful Eight, and Nixon.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I know the name of who this person is. Because The Aviator, Scorsese, and Hateful Eight, this is Quentin, is Tarantino, and the... Is Robert Richardson the name of the person I'm looking for? Hey, okay, all right.
Nice boy,
I wasn't sure if I had made that up and it sounded close to his real name. Okay, all right, that's a little bit better. I'm going to say one for The Aviator, nominated for Nixon, was not nominated for The Hateful Eight. Ah.
10 points still for knowing he won for The Aviator, nominated for The Hateful Eight. All that big super Panavision 70 nonsense did something, and missed for Nixon. Next up, over to Chris, still in Best Cinematography. The movies are Marathon Man, Road to Perdition, and Searching for Bobby Fischer.
We are talking about Conrad Hall.
Which one? Can you be more specific?
Conrad L. Hall. Conrad L. Hall won posthumously for The Road to Perdition. See, Searching for Bobby Fischer is one of those ones that I think people talk about as his underrated or like one of his best works, but I don't think he was nominated for it. No, he was nominated for it because we can't do it on our podcast. He's nominated for Searching for Bobby Fischer, not for Marathon Man.
Full 30 points on that there part for Chris. Well done. Next up to Joe, staying in the realm of Best Cinematography, the movies are The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, Munich, and Saving Private Ryan.
Well, if it's Saving Private Ryan, it's got to be Janusz Kaminski. Pretty sure he won for Saving Private Ryan. Oh, Diving Bell and the Butterfly, I feel like, did show up in a bunch of different places. And I feel like it was a Best Director nominee, so I feel like cinematography makes sense. I'm going to say nominated for Diving Bell, not nominated for Munich.
Absolutely. Well done, Joe. Last puzzle for each player, we're going to Best Original Score. For Katie, the movies are The Cider House Rules, Emma, and The Joy Luck Club.
I'm going to guess Rachel Portman, even though I don't think it's right. Oh, nice!
You've been pulling out the good guesses,
Katie. Rachel Portman has bailed me out in one of your trivia games before, Joe. Amazing. I don't remember what the context was.
Amazing.
Okay, so I'm going to say she won for the Cider House Rules, was nominated for Emma, and was not nominated for Joy Luck Club.
The Joy Luck Club being the miss does get you 10 points. She wins for Emma, becoming the first woman to ever win in this category, but just a nomination 3 years later for the Cider House Rules.
The years of the comedy score, drama score split.
Yes.
Really. Right.
Helped her out there.
Next up to Chris, still in Best Original Score, your movies are The Grand Budapest Hotel, Unbroken, and The Imitation Game.
This is Alexandre Plat, who won for The Grand Budapest Hotel, was nominated for The Imitation Game, was not nominated for Unbroken.
Yes, with all the movies in this question being from the same year.
Right! Wow. The man works.
And closing out the round with Joe for Best Original Score, the movies are Driving Miss Daisy, The Lion King, and Rain Man.
Right. This is Hans Zimmer, who I also, at a different trivia, pulled out the Rain Man score from an audio round out of my absolute backside, and it was my finest moment at that trivia. All right, so he definitely won for The Lion King. I'm pretty sure he was nominated for Rain Man and not nominated for Driving Miss Daisy.
Correct. Much to Jack Black and the Holidays' chagrin, not nominated for Driving Miss Daisy. Well, that'll do it for round two. Up next, another score break from Dan and on to our final round. Before we get to the final round of play, it's time for the home version. Listeners correctly guess the answer to Dan's pop culture riddle by the time next week's episode comes out, and you can win the chance to name a score break here on the show. Dan, let's hear that riddle.
Before the Oscars come along, these prizes are a gauge of what voters might be thinking when they reach a certain age. The nominees can be off-brand. It's really quite sensational. And who else celebrates a film that's intergenerational?
Think you know the answer to that? Then find the page for this episode at our website, usaquizshow.com, to show off that knowledge. Then find the answer to the riddle 1 week from now on our social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at usaquizshow. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. How about an update on our scores?
Absolutely. Going to round three, it's time for the Sachin Littlefeather score break. Sachin Littlefeather. This is a very long score break, which I cannot share with you presently because of time, but I'll be glad to share with the press afterwards that I regretfully cannot accept. At this point, Joe is in the lead with 195 points. Chris is close behind with 190 points and the half point. Katie is just a little bit behind them with 145 points. That means she'll have to go first in round three and will need to get 6 correct answers in order to pull into the lead.
Very doable, because anything can still happen in the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. You'll earn 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are Real Ones Will Know, Goodbye Mulder, The Surname of Sweatshirt Jacob, and Oprah Uma Uma Oprah. Now, these topics are a little bit mysterious, not 100% clear from their names alone, so pick the thing that you think you might be able to do the best on, or maybe keep something you think is easy away from one of your fellow players. Katie, in third place, you get to choose first which of the four categories would you like. Once again, they are Real Ones Will Know, Goodbye Mulder, The Surname of Sweatshirt Jacob, and Uma Oprah, Oprah Uma.
I don't know what Sweatshirt Jacob or... I don't know what Sweatshirt Jacob is, and I did not watch X-Files. So I'm just going to take a flyer on Real Ones Will Know, even though I don't know what that's going to be.
Do you have a wild guess as to what's in store for you this round?
All I can think of is, like, ranked choice Oscar voting system, which cannot possibly be a trivia category.
What if it was?
You guys had the inside information.
I'm now regretting that it's not. No, this is going to be all about real life portrayals that won Oscars. So Oscar winning roles portraying real people. 90 seconds on the clock. The timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Katie, are you ready?
I guess so.
This actor didn't show up to collect his Oscar for playing General Patton.
Oh my God. George C. Scott.
Sandra Bullock's Leanne Tui sends Michael Oher to this university.
Vanderbilt?
Ole Miss. This actor won supporting awards 2 years in a row, both for playing real people.
Pass.
Both Patty Duke and Anne Bancroft win Oscars for performances in this theatrical adaptation.
The Miracle Worker.
Daniel Day-Lewis's only acting win for not playing a real person comes in this movie.
There Will Be Blood.
She earns the only win from 7 nominations for Coal Miner's Daughter.
Sissy Spacek.
Anthony Quinn takes home an award for playing this revolutionary's brother.
Pass.
In her quest to win an Oscar for playing Alice Eklund Ward, she asked us to consider.
Melissa Leo.
Besides Colin Firth, he is the only person to win Best Actor for playing a King of England.
Pass.
Sally Field's You Like Me speech references her role in this biopic.
Norma Rae.
Playing Fred Hampton, Daniel Kaluuya wins an Oscar over this co-star.
Lakeith Stanfield.
Marcia Gay Harden wins an Oscar for playing this abstract expressionist.
Lee Krasner.
This actor won an Oscar for portraying a real pianist 6 years before Adrian Brody.
Jeffrey Rush.
She is the most recent person to win an Oscar for playing a real person whose name is the film's title. We're after the buzzer. That is Renee Zellweger for Judy.
If you had given me like a minute, I would have done it, I think.
All right, Dan, let's hear the Katie report.
All right, let's go through those passes first. The actor who won supporting awards for 2 years in a row playing real people was Jason Robards. That would be for Julia and All the President's Men. Anthony Quinn took home an Oscar for playing Emiliano Zapata's brother. And Charles Laughton is the only person besides Colin Firth to win a Best Actor award for playing a King of England. Katie had a very good round with 9 correct answers. That means she now has 235 points and is well in the lead. Chris has 190 points and a half point. He'll need to get 5 correct answers if he wants to pull into first.
All right, Chris, 3 category choices left on the board. They are Goodbye Mulder, The Surname of Sweatshirt Jacob, and Oprah Uma Uma Oprah.
Trying to think strategically of what our point leader could possibly be with what these categories could possibly be. I'm going to go Oprah Uma Uma Oprah.
You got a guess as to what's going on in this category?
I think it's going to be Oscar hosts.
100% correct. Oscar hosts is, and their hosting duties is the subject of this lightning round.
I could fall flat on my face, but I think Joe would have beaten me on this.
That's how you play the game. 90 seconds on the clock. Chris, are you ready?
I am.
She was both the first African-American and first solo female Oscar host.
Whoopi Goldberg.
This Oscar host put his predictions for the night in a sealed box at the beginning of the ceremony.
Neil Patrick Harris.
This Thief of Baghdad star headed festivities at the first Oscar ceremony.
Pass.
Billy Crystal sang new lyrics to Old Man River about this Best Picture nominee.
Pass.
Stacey Dash makes a bizarre cameo on the Oscar stage while he is hosting.
Chris Rock?
This comedian hosted 19 Oscar ceremonies.
Bob Hope?
The New York side of the 1956 ceremony was co-hosted by this Cleopatra director.
Robert Wise?
Joseph Mankiewicz. This actor was hosting the 46th Oscars when a streaker appeared on stage.
David Niven? No, David Niven was in the category. Oh, yeah.
Paul Hogan was nominated in this category the same year he co-hosted.
Pass.
Frank Capra hosted the Oscars the year after he won Best Director for this movie.
Casablanca.
It happened one night. Hugh Jackman hadn't seen this movie, according to his opening number at the 81st Oscars.
The Reader.
This host's mid-ceremony selfie briefly disabled Twitter.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Correct, but after the buzzer.
I love any mention of Hugh Jackman not seeing The Reader. Any opportunity.
All right, Dan, let's hear the Chris report.
Absolutely, just a few passes to go over. The star of The Thief of Baghdad, of course, is Douglas Fairbanks, as all of us who are 135 years old know. Billy Crystal sang new lyrics to Mystic River.
Right.
And Paul Hogan was nominated for Best Original Screenplay the same year that he co-hosted. Chris got 6 correct answers. That gives him a total of 250 points and the half point. He is now in the lead. Joe is up last. He has 195 points now, so he will also have to get 6 in order to take the win.
All right, Joe, last 2 category choices are Goodbye Mulder and The Surname of Sweatshirt Jacob.
All right, I also don't know what Sweatshirt Jacob is supposed to be. I'm going to have to live in the mystery, though, because I really hope I'm getting this right, but I think Goodbye Mulder is going to be about Searchlight Pictures, formerly Fox Searchlight Pictures. So that's what I'm going with.
absolutely correct right. about the Oscar history of Searchlight right. and Fox Searchlight.
Can we just
pictures?
Give it up for Joe in this one? Because that was pretty good. And usually that's people really do not good. Decipher the harder ones. So.
I was really hoping no one else would take it because I'm like, I think I got it. All right.
Now do I get to know what Sweatshirt Jacob is, though?
We'll tell you after.
We'll tell you offline. Okay. Yeah. We might reuse it. Yeah. Searchlight and Fox Searchlight on the board. 90 seconds on the clock. Joe, are you ready?
Yes.
This Danny Boyle flick is the first Fox Searchlight movie to win Best Picture.
Slumdog Millionaire.
This British comedy was the first Fox Searchlight movie to get a Best Picture nomination.
The Full Monty.
Despite buzz for Michael Caine and Jane Fonda, this movie only earns a song nomination.
Youth.
He gets the only nomination for Sexy Beast.
Ben Kingsley.
This Judi Dench movie scores Philip Glass a Best Original Score nomination.
Notes on a Scandal.
This is the only Fox Searchlight film to have won the Palme d'Or at Cannes.
Pass.
Fox Searchlight beats itself for Best Picture when The Shape of Water beats this fellow nominee.
Pass.
Olivia Colman triumphs for 2018's The Favorite, but her nominated co-star loses to Her.
Regina King.
This Guillermo del Toro neo-noir thriller was Searchlight's final release of 2021.
Nightmare Alley.
Crazy Heart wins Best Actor in Song, but also gets nominated in this category.
Supporting Actress.
This World War II comedy is the last movie released under the Fox Searchlight moniker that won an Oscar.
Jojo Rabbit.
This actor wins a non-acting Oscar for 12 Years a Slave.
Brad Pitt.
This is the only Fox Searchlight movie to earn an Oscar for Emmanuel Lubezki. Three in a row, but only one of them was Searchlight. That was Birdman.
Right, of course.
All right, Dan, let's hear the Joe report and the final scores.
Certainly, Joe had just one pass. The only Fox Searchlight film to have won the Palme d'Or at Cannes is, I mean, who could forget a Brad Pitt movie? I mean, Brad Pitt, Terrence Malick, The Tree of Life? That's not a forgettable movie at all. Come on. We all lost about 5 hours of our life to it. Joe got a total of 10 correct answers. That means our final scores are Katie with 235, Chris with 250 points and a half point, and our winner with 295 points off an amazing lightning round. It's Joe.
Joe!
I love it up here.
Congratulations, Joe. Amazing game. Thank you guys again so much for coming along and playing some Oscar trivia. This was an absolute delight. But before we go, Chris, we mentioned this at Oscar Buzz. Is there anything else you'd like to plug? Social media handles or writing elsewhere?
You can catch me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Chris V. File. That's F-E-I-L.
Fantastic. And Katie, where can our listeners see more or hear more of you?
Find me on Twitter. I'm at Katie Rich, K-A-T-E-Y-R-I-C-H.
And Joe, our big winner today. Congratulations again. Where can we find more of you online and elsewhere?
Yeah, Twitter and Letterboxd, Joe Reed. Reed is R-E-I-D. You can also find me talking about TV at primetimer.com.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time as we launch right into the Season 6 playoffs with the determining match in our Nelvana division. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
Neil Patrick Harris.